Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Roy Hinckley tweets in, I was searching for a sports show discussing the NFL playoffs. I apparently got lost and stumbled into a Jay-Z worship convention. Sorry for the intrusion. Carry on. Those are my favorite type of comments. Like, I'm so angry about something that I felt the need to tell you I was listening to you, and then I wanted to interact with the show also. And I've done plenty more Jay-Z worshiping on this show than I have today, and at home than I have today. And by the way, guys, have we talked about the NFL playoffs? Have we missed that? I'm pretty sure we've been talking about the NFL playoffs for 2-something hours with a little bit more of Motley Crue somehow sprinkled in. That was really the theme. It was been about Motley Crue. I'm being educated a little bit on Motley Crue here today more than anything else. But Brian, would you like to say another thing in defense of Motley Crue before I go back to the NFL calls?
I'm not winning this conversation.
So you can win the conversation. Sure you can.
No, I'm just going to take a knee on this.
Why?
One. Because I'm just, there's no way around it. Jay-Z's bigger, better, and everything.
But that wasn't like that doesn't even have to be the point of the conversation. That was the only reason that happened is because you said the guy who made that song, Empire State of Mind. That's the only reason he even came into this conversation. It started because you wearing the Motley Crue t-shirt. So if you would like to say something positive about Motley Crue or about the impact of Motley Crue, that can be done without referencing Jay-Z. I don't think Jay-Z and Motley Crue are often referenced together.
I want to publicly apologize to the Carter family, I believe, is Jay-Z's actual last name.
Uh-huh.
I want to apologize to the Carter family and Beyonce and all of their children. And
can you name one of their children?
North, is that one of their?
No, man. That's a Kim Kanye spawn.
Oh, same thing.
Blue, Sir, and Rumi would be the. Do you think more people could name right now, if we just did a random test, the Carter children or the members of Motley Crue?
Well, there's only four members of Motley Crue.
There's only three Carter children.
Okay, three Carter. More people name the Carter children or Motley Crue songs.
I could name the members of Motley Crue better than I could name the Motley Crue songs.
No way.
Yeah, Vince Neil and Tommy Lee.
Well, you didn't know Vince Neil.
Well,
10
no, once
ago.
That was brought up, I definitely know who Vince Neil is. Vince Neil took his second to jog. I don't know if I could name the two Motley Crue songs off the top. Girls, 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 you brought up. And I recognize the tune to that in a second. Girls, Girls, Girls. And what's another one?
Home, Sweet Home.
How does that go?
I'm on my way home, sweet home.
I don't know if I know that. Let's go to Dan. It's okay. You love what you love, always. And Motley Crue was super popular, dude, for their time. They sold a lot of records. I've been definitely educated on that by people in my mentions. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Dan in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, great show. I want to talk about the playoffs, but I have to take 2 seconds out that you guys have been talking so much radio. I think what you guys need to label Motley Crue as is what it is. The 80s were an iconic decade, and Motley Crue is an iconic 80s band.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. They were a band of their time that was super popular in that moment, and that doesn't really transcend that time period, if that is fair.
On a half laughable side to finish. Don't sell them too short. They did actually hold the mainstay tune in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh.
When Lou actually went back in time and became the lead.
You know, I've used Hot Tub Time Machine as a reference before, but I've never actually seen the movie. So
it is actually a movie you should probably check to go back and watch. It's a pretty funny movie.
Okay.
The one was not worth your time. All right. Now to the playoffs. We'll talk some quarterbacks. Now, I think when you break down a little bit of everything as far as age, declining performance, the way the regular season went, there's not a clear, you could say Mahomes. If I'm going in the playoffs, this is the way I rank my top six. I want Russell Wilson, then Mahomes, then Drew Brees, then Tom Brady. Then I'm going to go with Watson and Luck. And the reason that I go with Wilson on top of Mahomes, which, as I said, is not like a huge gap between any of these, is because Wilson's been there, and Wilson can do everything. Just like a couple of the quarterbacks can.
I'm surprised you're the first person that brought up Russell Wilson, because that's a very fair comment to make. And I think, you know, it's the reason I'm picking Seattle, and he's been, I mean, you talk about a big game performer. He's been a big game performer.
Yeah, he's been all the way to the top. He's got a ring. So, you know, I mean, the reason Brady's four, I do think he's declined a little bit. I do lean a little bit. I'm not saying he couldn't have a great run. I mean, Brady's still iconically, you can argue him as the best quarterback of all time ever. I love Brady. But I think I would rather sell quick. I'd rather sell early than be stuck behind the bus on that. So I think coming into this year's playoffs, that's the reason he's below at number four. But again, not a huge gap between any of them.
No, it's really wide open for sure. Mike in Chicago. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Robin? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to make one little quick statement here.
Sure.
Without trying to be a Chicago meathead, like most Chicago fans are,
the
Chicago Bears are dumb enough to actually get there. I don't think they're good enough to win it, but they're dumb enough to get there. And my examples are, and you know, me being a Chicago fan, that's kind of what I'm going to relate to, even though it's kind of unrelatable, is the 2009 Blackhawks. They were dumb enough to do it, although they didn't get there the next year, they did. The 2015 Cubs, they were dumb enough to get there. Unfortunately, they didn't, but in 16, they put it together. And that's what I see in this Bears team. I see that they're dumb enough to get there. They got over the Packers. They got over the division, although the division was crap and garbage, but they still did what they had to do. They took care of what they had to do. Out of all the teams in the NFL playoffs going in right now, I say the Bears and the Colts are the two hottest teams, and I can see them making a run and be in your Super Bowl.
Why do you think that the Bears could get to the Super Bowl and then not win the Super Bowl, though?
I feel like
if you can get there, you can win it.
Right, yeah. I mean, lack of quarterback experience. I mean, defense does carry a team a long way. It truly does. But just when it boils down to it, it's going to be quarterback play. The defense, you can't have a defense out on the field for 30 minutes at a time, and they're going to be going through some tough teams, some tough offenses.
For sure. But, I mean, if they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl, to me, they're good enough to win the Super Bowl. Zimmy's 31 tweets in, can't forget Dr. Feelgood in reference to Motley Crue, Brian, and I do know that song. Josh in Notre Dame. Josh, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Josh?
Oh, not much, man. Thanks for having me. I'm going to go, man, what that guy just said, I'm actually going to go with the opposite. I think the Bears will get there, and I think they'll do it just because of that defense. Out of all the quarterbacks, there's probably 10 other quarterbacks I'd rather have that Baltimore and keep their quarterback. And Watson, I do like Watson, but I'll go with Trubisky. But Mahomes, every time he goes out and scores a touchdown, he's going to have to go right back out there and know he's going to have to score another touchdown with that defense. Where Mitch, all he has to do is not turn the ball over. Hand that ball off to Jordan Howard's fresh legs, since he didn't really run.
Sure, but
that
doesn't actually give you more confidence in Trubisky than it does in Mahomes. It just makes you think the Bears are a better team.
Oh, yeah. I truly think the Bears are, outside the Saints, I still think that they are. Other than Drew Brees, I think they are the best team in the NFL. I mean, they were so few plays away from being 15-1 this year, and that defense is just unbelievable. I watch every game. I am definitely a Chicago meathead, but that defense travels. I people say, oh, be scared of the Eagles. No one wants to play Eagles. Who would want to play the Bears in Chicago right now? The only thing that's going to cripple the Bears is I would say Cody Parkey and his horrible field goal kicking. But other than that, I just hand the ball off and don't turn the ball over. Throw some short 10, 15-yard passes, and I think the Bears are fine. And if they get to the Super Bowl, they will win it. I truly believe in this team for sure.
You know what's funny is this year sort of started off, we're talking about the offensive revolution, right, and how these teams are scoring and lighting up the scoreboard and all that. And as the seasons changed, as the season settled, we're starting to see more of the prototypical type of teams. Not that they play, you know, like the 80s Bears or anything like that, or the Ravens, or like the early 2000s Ravens. But, you know, they're not a one-trick pony, for instance. I mean, the way that the Bears run their offense is very inventive. But they certainly are doing it on the back of their defense overall. So it's interesting to see those teams emerge as the season wears along. And you're not going to catch me saying anything negative about the Bears. They've been on a real extended run here. Now, they don't really have too many signature wins. I guess holding the Rams to 6 points qualifies. 15-6 was the score of that game. But I've heard too many smart people are taking the Bears. And maybe, like, you know, when you see the one spread that you kind of take a second glance at because it's higher than you might think due to the way Nick Foles is playing, due to the way the Eagles are playing and them beating the defending champs. Maybe that's, you know, Vegas and the odds makers telling us something about the Chicago Bears, that they are a team to be reckoned with. You know, I'm generally going to favor the teams that don't have to play an extra game. I think that always helps, Chicago having to play here in the first round. But they look darn good. There's no doubt about it. So you won't catch me surprised if the Chicago Bears go on a run this postseason. But you won't catch me surprised if any of these teams, for the most part. It goes back to the top of the show, circling back to the top of the show. There are a lot of teams that got a real chance. Parity is real this year. Speaking of Chicago, one of the most stunning things I've ever heard was repeated a lot this week. I mean, really, just it's rich. The things that were said about a certain Chicago legend. Get to that coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
See, that's a riff that isn't married to a time period. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, that can keep rolling. I know it's NFL Saturday, NFL Wildcard Weekend, and we focus most of the show on the NFL. I'll get back to how I make my picks at the top of the hour. We're getting to the college football national championship game a little bit in just a couple of minutes, but I want to spend just a second on some basketball here. Some James is proving pretty valuable right now, right? First of all, what James Harden's doing is fairly ridiculous at the moment. I know there's, and I've complained about the way he's officiated at times, and mostly because he's the poster child for some of those calls on the perimeter where guys are just like diving into defenders and getting rewarded with a whistle. And there was, I think it was New Year's Eve, in fact, because I'm washed. I went to bed before midnight on New Year's Eve, and I actually spent much of New Year's Eve just watching random NBA basketball games. And that was the night, I think, James Harden scored 43 points and made 8 shots. So that's a problem. Like, 8 shots. How do you score 43 points on 8 shots? Nevertheless, he's such a unique player in the sense of his ability to get to the rim, his ability to hit the three, and his ability to draw free throws. He's super efficient as a scorer, and his passing usually leads to dunks or three-pointers. It's a perfect marriage with what Houston wants to do because, you know, Houston was kind of at the forefront with Daryl Morey of the analytics movement in the NBA, looking for those efficient shots, and you've seen them leverage the three-point shot, and obviously the free throw is an efficient shot. You throw in Mike D'Antoni there, and you've got an offensive monster in James Harden, who has put himself right back at the top of the MVP race with Houston back in the mix. I'm a guy who always thinks LeBron is the MVP, and I think you're seeing that being proven out again this year. I mean, look at the Lakers. They're 1-4 without LeBron James. They're 28th in offensive rating without LeBron James. The Cavaliers went to the finals last year. They are dead last in the NBA in record this year. LeBron's on the Lakers. They look like a contender. They're waxing Golden State on Christmas Day. LeBron's off the Lakers. They look like a lottery team again. If that's not value, what is? But the thing I really want to talk about is just I my mind was boggled by this. Legitimately boggled by this. People were calling Michael Jordan humble this week. That's the craziest stuff I ever heard, man. That is some, you know, like, that's rich. I know LeBron had his whole thing on whatever the show was, one of his shows, and he called himself the greatest of all time after the Warriors championship, but when they beat the 73-win team and came back from 3-1. And this is how I know how threatened people are by LeBron James. Like, how threatened either the people who are just like his detractors or the Michael Jordan fanboys, if you will. I mean, like, Michael Jordan's an all-time great player. No one could possibly argue otherwise. That's foolish. And he has fans for a reason. Like, he was the guy for the longest time. I'm talking about the ones who, like, are spending their time trying to tear down LeBron James, or the ones who have taken up the mantle of Michael Jordan who never even watched him play. Like, that's such a weird phenomenon to me, those people. Like, they, you know, I'm old enough to have watched Michael Jordan play and remember, you know, especially the second three-peat. I call it a fadeaway Jordan versus Air Jordan. You know, the first three titles was Air Jordan. The second three titles was fadeaway Jordan. He sort of changed his game and refined it as he got a little older. But, you know, you can't front on the man's success. Legend. Nike is built on the back of Michael Jordan. He still has the most iconic sneaker brand in the history of existence. But there, you know, you could tell how much of LeBron's an actual threat to the Jordan fanboys or the LeBron detractors or the people who spend their time, their free thought, trying to tear LeBron down because they know he belongs in that conversation. You know, to me, LeBron's already the greatest player of all time. I don't care whether he says it or not. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. What I found most interesting about that was the reaction to it, because people got up in arms about it, which lets you know it's true. Or has truth to it. You know, people wouldn't have that reaction if they didn't believe there was merit to it. They'd just laugh it off. They should be like, oh, he's talking crazy. Or, you know, he's talking however, you know, and laugh it off. Instead, they're triggered by it. Because they know there's merit to it. There's truth to it. Or it's just true. And as a result, you see these defense plans put into action. And somebody found one clip of one Michael Jordan interview where he talked, you know, nicely about other players and said, I wouldn't want to consider myself the greatest of all time because I didn't play against guys in other eras or whatnot. And all of a sudden, you start seeing people saying, of all people, Michael Jeffrey Jordan was humble. Like, I don't mean this is a diss of Michael Jordan. Like, that's some delusion right there. You know, like, people might call, if I say people are Jordan fanboys, I'm sure people are going to come back and say you're a LeBron fanboy. You ain't never heard me call LeBron humble. That's not a word I would use to describe him. And Michael Jordan is the antithesis of humble, humility. You know, I've heard stories about Michael Jordan finding a very famous sports analyst, rolling down his window and chewing said sports analyst out for not properly giving him his greatness due in one particular commentary. Has anyone seen Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech? You know, behind the scenes, Michael Jordan's talking the most trash of anyone who ever lived. In fact, I would say that one interview people are pointing out is disingenuous, if anything else. It's like trying to put the proper front on an answer. But if I've ever seen any, you know, like, sort of indication that people are bothered by something or threatened by something, it's propping up the idea that Michael Jordan was humble. Michael Jordan was an all-time great player. Michael Jordan was a competitor. Michael Jordan was an assassin. Michael Jordan was a lot of things. Humble ain't one of them. And that, to me, is just one of the most fascinating events I've seen happen in a long time as far as like a talking point that's developed. And, you know, like when you're propping that up there, all you're telling me is you're worried about LeBron James coming for that crown. That's what you're telling me. If you're going Michael Jordan's humble, and that's my look how humble Michael Jordan is in comparison to LeBron James. Yeah. And like, how could you be humble if you're Michael Jordan? It's not a, like, how can you possibly be humble if you're Michael Jordan? You got commercial. I want to be like Mike. Everyone wants to be like you. Dude had shoes on that said to be worn by the greatest on his shoe. Like I said, Air Jordan, Space Jam, like everything. You couldn't be humble. Just like you couldn't be humble if you're LeBron. I mean, you want people to be good people. You want people to be, you know, think beyond themselves. And I think LeBron's done a lot to prove he's that. But humble, I mean, like, that's absurd. So I just found that to be very, very, that tickled me. That tickled me. That the people were so willing to try to tear down LeBron's comments and so willing to try and keep building the mythology of Michael Jordan, which doesn't need to be artificially enhanced. It stands on its own. By going, yeah, look how humble Michael Jordan is because of one clip from one interview we found. And remember, this GOAT talk is like such a creation of social media and 24/7 news cycle. Like these sort of discussions are happening because of that. You know, it's so fascinating to me because you talk about different eras. Like, yeah, like game style changes. But think about when Michael Jordan was playing. What was who was the chief critic of Michael Jordan? The newspaper columnist? Like, it would write something about him a couple days later, a day later. Didn't have Twitter. Didn't have, you know, every show in the universe, you know, sports talk radio plus digital media plus television debate shows. Different era in a lot of ways. But Michael Jordan, there's no one who's ever been humble quite like his airness. Quite like MJ. My goodness, people. Like, at least come with some, you know, something that's not laughable. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. Going to talk to Barton Simmons, CBS Sports National College football writer, a little bit about the looming national championship game. Someone please tell me your stories of Michael Jordan's humility as well. I would love to hear, you know, if you have any accounts of him just being, you know what, I'm not that good. I'm you know, people make too big a deal about me. Now buy my shoes.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Get back to the NFL. You can try and convince me Michael Jordan was humble, if you will, on two as well. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. But let's take a look at the college football national championship game for a moment as it is approaching. And joining me now, Barton Simmons, CBS Sports national college football writer. Barton, it's sort of interesting to me, this game, because... tell me if you agree with this assessment or not, as someone who follows it more closely. I don't know if the anticipation is there from the sense of it being intriguing, like the stakes. There's not really too many stakes in my mind because both teams have proven themselves already. There's not too much on the line. There's not so many storylines going in either, but it should be a good game once it starts.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit interested in sort of what the national perception of this game is. I mean, you hear all this about Alabama fatigue and is the rematch or the fourth time in 4 years that these two teams have met in the postseason. Is it good for football? I don't know, but I know this is the two teams that we've wanted all year. I mean, it's the two teams that it's been these are the two teams at the beginning of the year everyone thought would play in the national championship. These are the two teams all year that have looked like the best two teams in college football by a wide margin. And now we're here. We got a true freshman quarterback starting in the national championship game for what looks like the third straight year. You know, we've got a strength versus strength at just about every position. You know, it's interesting to me that there seems to be some kind of disinterest, maybe is too big, too strong of a word, but I'm not disinterested. I think this game is going to be phenomenal. And again, if we're looking for the two best teams, if that's the goal, we got them. And I think it should be a pretty good game.
It's clearly the two best teams. I don't think that can be argued at this point. You know, it's just one of those times. Sometimes, Barton, I think there are games people want to watch but don't necessarily want to talk about. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I guess, to that point, there's not a whole lot left to be said about this game. Because that, you know, it's Goliath versus Goliath. You know, I guess in that sense, maybe the storylines aren't there. And maybe it'd be more interesting in the build-up to have somebody else in there. But if there's anybody else in this game other than one of these two teams playing the other one, then we'd have great storylines and a bad game. I'll take the bad storylines in a great game.
Robin Lundberg talking to Barton Simmons, CBS Sports national college football writer here on CBS Sports Radio. What would you say is the singular storyline? Is it Trevor Lawrence going against Nick Saban? You know, Nick Saban obviously is who he is, and freshman QBs have had next to no success against him. Now, how many freshman QBs have actually played him at this level of a game? But everybody has their opinions shaped when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa. I think Trevor Lawrence may be having his national coming out party, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor's having a historic season as a true freshman quarterback, just in terms of his efficiency, his production, the limited mistakes he's made. It's really been a nearly perfect freshman campaign for him. And yet here we are in the national championship game, and you know, it's as if he's got something to prove, and he does, because you know, this is the biggest stage of all, and I think that's what makes this game so fun. Is look, we've got you got Tua Tagovailoa, who you know, played last year as a true freshman and was the reason Alabama won, beat out another true freshman in Jake Fromm. So this is an unprecedented. Jalen Hurts was a true freshman in the game the year before that. And now you got Trevor Lawrence on the biggest stage, and this is a guy that won four straight played in four straight state championships in high school, threw for 3,000 yards four straight years in high school. He's been on the biggest stage of every point in his career, and this is certainly the biggest stage to date. And to play Nick Saban, that defense, and to have the pieces around him, because they do have the pieces around them to where it's not all on Trevor Lawrence. That's the beauty of Clemson's offense, is he's really just distributing. And he's got a running back in Travis Etienne who can take it the distance as well. And so to have sort of the ammunition in place to be able to go up against this Alabama machine is I think what makes this a really exciting matchup. And I think the quarterback duel is really fascinating, because we're going to have the same one next year. I mean, that's when if you talk about this is boring to folks. Well, they're going to get it again, we're going to have Alabama Clemson 5, because the key pieces of the puzzle for both teams aren't draft eligible yet, and so it's a remarkable matchup. And I think this is going to be kind of a bird versus magic thing we look back on for years to come with Tua versus Trevor, considering I think we'll get it again next year.
You know, the Alabama was sort of the team this year with Clemson as the other team. Like, you know, Alabama was thought of as this juggernaut, and people are like, well, maybe Clemson is still on their level. How much is it equal in your mind? How much are, you know, is it Clemson is the only team with a chance to beat Alabama? Or is it Clemson is on the same level as Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I picked Clemson preseason to win the national championship and picked them number one. I was surprised that I was sort of in the minority. I think the key with Alabama that's made them so good is, as good as their offense looked like it was going to be, it sort of met that and it has matched that expectation. But their offense really took us, or I'm sorry, their defense, you know, that was the unit that, if anything, that could have taken a step back this year. Not only did it not take a step back, it sort of improved as the year has progressed. Alabama's pretty airtight. And so with that, I look at Clemson, and they're absolutely on the same tier as Alabama. It's an Alabama-Clemson tier, and then everybody else is several steps down. Clemson can beat Alabama, I'm convinced of that. But I do think that Clemson, when you compare Clemson to Alabama, there's just the minorest imperfections that you point to. I mean, their safety play is not good, not as good in pass coverage. So that's something you can exploit, but if you're going to exploit that, you have to be able to block their defensive front. No one can do both. Alabama may have the offensive line to block the defensive front. They certainly have the receivers to threaten the safeties. And on the other side of the football, Clemson's offensive line is good, and that's it. You know, it's not an elite offensive line. And so when you're looking at angles in this game, I think that's where you look at Alabama as sort of this borderline perfect team in terms of just not having any weaknesses versus a Clemson team who's, through their strengths, make up for just, again, a very, very small deficiencies in just a couple other areas.
So are you sticking with your preseason pick, or are you going Alabama in this game?
I've switched over to Alabama, and yet, I mean, the line's 6.5, I think. I don't know, maybe it's changed. I haven't checked recently, but I was surprised to see it open that big. I like Clemson to cover in this game. I think it's close. I think Clemson can win it. I think it's a one-score game, probably a 3 or 4 point game is sort of what I'm expecting. But I like Alabama because of those reasons I just gave. And because, look, when we watch, Tua is the best player in college football. And if not his teammate Quinnen Williams on the defensive line. But Tua is the best player in college football when he's healthy. I've seen him when he's not healthy in person against Mississippi State. That wasn't his best effort. We all saw him when he wasn't healthy against Georgia in the SEC championship game. He looked healthy last week against Oklahoma. That was what was startling, is the medical attention he's getting and the rehab he's getting is working. He looked healthy and mobile and active. I think if that's the same tool we're getting, or if even we're getting a better version in terms of his health, I just trust him to make the plays you need in a big game like this. I mean, I'm down here right now in San Antonio at the All-American Bowl. Tua was in this game. And I remember thinking, leaving this week, you can put him in the national championship game right now as a true freshman. And whether he's ready physically, he will be ready from an emotional standpoint. No stage is too big. He has a really unique intangible with that regard, and I think, look, this is another huge stage, and Tua is not going to flinch. He's not going to blink, and that's sort of where I put my trust in this game. But I am very, very much acknowledged that this could be a Clemson upset as well.
Appreciate your insight, Barton. Thanks for the time this morning, man.
You bet. Yeah, appreciate it.
Barton Simmons, CBS Sports national college football writer. The line now 5. Alabama a 5-point favorite in that game, which Anthony makes a little note thing for me, which is useful, you know, in case he ever wonders how useful it actually is, because he clearly spends some time doing it, and he puts it together, and he breaks it down by, like, you know, he knows I'm not going to do a different topic every segment, right? Like, he understands there are topics that you ride for a while, but he still breaks it down by segment so that I have information or a topic I could go to at any time. And when I referenced that line, I looked down at something he put in here, and that was that the NFL ratings were up 5% this year, which is actually not shocking to me. You know, they had a really bad year last year, so really this is kind of them evening out a little bit. Anytime you're going up in television ratings, I think you should, that's a big deal. I think breaking even is a win, because the consumption models are so different nowadays. You know, like, the way things are traditionally measured is outdated. They shouldn't be measured that way anymore, because there are so many people cutting the cord. There are so many people consuming things in different manners. But I was reading, I don't know if it was during a break or before the show, It was an article about the actual NFL ratings, and it turns out that more people aren't watching. The people who are watching are just watching longer, according to the antiquated data I'm just referencing. Meaning that, according to the ratings, 5 million fewer people actually watch the NFL this year than last year. 5 million fewer. But the ratings were still up 5% because the people who did watch, watched more of it. They watched for a little bit longer each game. They watched a few more games. The people who were watching, even if there were fewer of them. And I do wonder if sports gambling has an effect on that a little bit. Because I just referenced the line in that Clemson-Alabama game. To be honest, I'm not like, you know, I'm not a huge college football guy. That's not my thing, right? So I would maybe think about, I live in New Jersey. It's legal to bet there. I know a lot of people, it's sort of, you know, frowned upon in other places where people can get around and do it anyway. You know, I thought about doing that in the past, but it was always just like convenience is a big thing for me. It's when it became legal in New Jersey, it was just so convenient to use the app. I'm live betting NBA games last night for fun, like as they're going on. Probably, you know, I would have done better if I just left it alone with my big bet on the Boston Celtics just to win last night. But the Alabama-Clemson game on Monday night, like, all right, how do I get myself interested in that game? Maybe I throw a little money on it, right? Some of the NFL, if anybody's been like, you know, we talk about in the offseason with all the negative stories, if there's NFL fatigue or you're not like, you know, there's not the storylines emerging. If you're gambling on those games, you're much more likely to watch. I mean, that's what Adam Silver made the case for when he was a proponent for it. He knew that. He knew that if the Dallas Mavericks, let me not use the Dallas Mavericks because Luka Doncic is at least a reason to watch. Let me think of the Brooklyn Nets played the Memphis Grizzlies last night. What is a way to have more people care about the Brooklyn Nets and the Memphis Grizzlies? If they could bet on it. I bet the Nets money line last night. You know? And then I wound up watching the fourth quarter of that game. I live in the New York area, so I have a little bit more of a personalized interest in the Nets than the average Joe. But I had more interest in Memphis and Brooklyn for sure because I bet on it. And I'm going to bet on all these NFL wildcard games. I wonder how much of an effect that's having. You know, have you noticed personally or through anybody else how big an effect sports gambling has had on sports viewership and interest? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.